Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You know, I didn't expect to do this today. If you told me before a weekend of a playoff game that we're going to do a little reading Giglio, Hugh, I would have said, what are you talking about? It's a playoff Monday. But Hugh, yesterday, and you referenced it, and welcome back, everyone. 215-592-9494 is how you hop in. Defense, passing game, what stood out the most to you yesterday as the Eagles move on over the Packers? Hugh, yesterday, we got to know the book Inner Excellence. Train your mind for extraordinary performance and the best possible life by Jim Murphy. So I have a couple passages here we can read and talk about. But Hugh, what was your initial reaction when you saw that? Because it was, I'll say, different. A.J. Brown reading a book on the sideline.
My initial reaction was, what the hell is he doing? Like, initially.
Yeah.
And I was like, knowing A.J. and knowing how the media is, he did this for attention. Like, he was intentional in what he, why he did this. Now, going back and hearing other people say that, you know, this is something that he's had all the time and been doing, I get that. But still, that was intentional. And then I started thinking, okay, why would he do that? And so now I started to dive into the actual author of the book. I think his name is Martin something.
Jim Murphy.
Jim Murphy or whatever.
Same thing.
And I was looking at that, and then I was looking at some of the testimonials that other people wrote for it. So I at that point, started to give AJ the benefit of the doubt, because he has to know, especially because it's him, that everything he does, especially with a game like the one that he had, it opens himself up to all types of speculation. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt in this situation. And the reason why I did that, it was because of this. Because when I look at some of the testimonials and how, you know, Jim Murphy got to where he got to the point where he wrote this book, it was more so about inner reflection and how to become a better person. And so I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting. And then I went online and just looked at some of the comments that other people had that saw the book that he was reading. Mm-hmm. And they kind of felt the same way that I did. Because I think the book, you have to focus more on the book than the moment. And I feel like in that moment that he was frustrated, not so much at Jalen. I think it was at his performance and the fact that he couldn't play to the level that he wanted to play. So he had to ground himself in knowing that his self-worth, if you will. That's kind of how I looked at it. I know that's a long way of looking at it, and I know a lot of other people didn't look at it that way, but that's why I did a little bit of research before I automatically, you know, vilified him and said, you know, he's being a malcontent or anything like that, because I felt like the book, more than anything, is the focal point of why he did what he did.
So I think the person that's the most happy today in the entire country is Jim Murphy, Jim Martin, whatever his name is, and it is Jim Murphy. Because now the book, at least as of like a half hour ago, is the number one bestseller on Amazon, The Power of the NFL. That book got a lot of play yesterday.
That's like when, what was it? It was Lane and Chris Long did the dog mess.
Yes, and they sold out.
And they sold out everywhere.
Well, that's Eagles fans. It's The Power of the NFL. So, all right, Hugh, I think what you said is an important point. The what he was reading mattered. We also found out, and James Palmer of NFL Network got a picture of AJ in his locker yesterday, and AJ showed him the book. He has highlighted passages, parts that are underlined, and the book's kind of beat up. And AJ was saying he brings it to the sideline every game. It wasn't just yesterday. Like, let me give you an example, because you said the book mattered. If, let's just say, yesterday he was reading a brand new copy of "Just Give Me the Damn Ball" by Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, you can look at that and interpret that the way you know.
That would have been a way different story. Now, my first thought, because I asked you your first thought, my first thought was it might be really intentional and, like, reading, and I like to read. That's why we have Reading Giglio, right? Reading, like, the symbol of reading when you're not by yourself is kind of boredom, right? Like, if you have an event somewhere or you know someone, you invite someone somewhere, and they bring a book, it feels like they're bored. Like, that's, and maybe that was part of the message. I don't know. I don't have a problem with this because he does it all the time, apparently, and apparently it tries to help keep him calm on the sideline. So I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
But it was a weird look. It's just this. I've never seen this before.
It's his coping mechanism.
There you go.
And the unfortunate thing about most people when they see something like that, it's that was interpreted as a negative.
Mm.
And initially, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of looked at it like that.
I think we all did.
But as I took a deeper dive, which a lot of us don't like to do, because it's easier just to see it and talk about it, I wanted to get a little bit of a background of the author of the book and how did he get to the point where he wanted to write the book. I read just the excerpt, and he said something to the effect that, you know, he gave away all his belongings, and he went into the desert.
This is Jim Murphy.
Yeah, and he talked about how, you know, he wondered how an Olympian could train for 4 years for one event that only lasted like 60 seconds mm-hmm. or something like that, and how, you know, the mindset that it took to get that. And then I looked at some of the testimonials of other professionals that read the book, and they talked about how it changed their lives and the way that they look at certain things.
Let me read you guys a couple of excerpts here as I was reading this morning. So this is part of the book. Quote, "We're so hard on ourselves, amplifying all our failures and regrets, that we neglect to see what's still possible, a life of freedom, filled with deep contentment, joy and confidence, independent of circumstances. We're all human with the same deep desires and concerns." Next passage, "In the pursuit of extraordinary performance, it's easy to succumb to anxiety and pressure because so much is out of your control. When you learn to live a life that is fully engaged, however, you can perform your best and love the challenge." Kyle, what'd you think as A.J. Brown has a book on the sideline?
Not something you see every day.
No.
Probably the first time I've ever seen an NFL player with a book on the sideline. If that's the alternative to him, you know, giving Jalen an earful or, you know, freaking out about not getting the ball, I'm okay with it. That was like his Frank Costanza Serenity Now moment where he's like, just, you know, be calm, be cool. I'm good with it. I think my favorite part was probably after the game when the reporters were asking him, like, what his favorite excerpt was. And, like, almost, I don't know if this was their intention, but that brought me back to the LeBron thing with the book in the post game. They're like, well, what's your favorite part of the book? He's like, oh, just all of it, you know.
When but LeBron AJ would actually lie about reading.
Yeah, AJ had an answer though, so they did not catch AJ in his LeBron era.
Let's hear from AJ after the game.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it the recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. But it's not the first game. You know, it got a lot of points in there. It's a lot of mental game, a lot of mental parts about it. And, you know, but for me, you know, this game is mental. You know, I physically believe I can do anything and everything, but, you know, I got to make sure my mental goes. So it's something like how I refresh every drive. You know, regardless of if I score a touchdown or I drop a pass, I always go back to that book every drive and just refocus, and nothing matters, nothing happened, and just relive back in. But, you know, so.
Inner Excellence is the book. A.J. Brown on the sideline. What'd you make of it? 215-592-9494. I think if there wasn't an explanation and he hadn't had it before, I think people would be upset about it. I think it would be viewed as like a...
He's insincere. Yeah. Disingenuine.
Yeah, he's bored or he's annoyed.
Yeah, and that's why I say it's one of those things that it was awkward, but given the moment that he was in and the fact that he wasn't who he projects himself to be or who he wants to be in this situation, that's why he did it. That's probably why he went out and he read the book, because it was more reaffirming where he was and help him stay grounded and not get frustrated. I don't have a problem with that, man. Like, these kids nowadays are more in tune to their feelings way more than we are. And they're allowed to express them a lot more. So I don't have a problem. If that keeps A.J. Brown from acting a whole donkey on the sideline and blowing things up, then what's the problem with it? I know a lot of people aren't going to see it like that. And I mean, that's fine. If you don't want to take the time to go, you know, try to do a deeper dive and figure out what he might be going through, that's cool. But when I saw it, it made me, I was more curious about the book and trying to interpret why was he reading it during that moment. And like I said, he didn't play well. He didn't play to his standard yesterday.
Yep.
So he probably was frustrated, not so much about what Jalen was doing, about the fact that he didn't feel 100%. So he had to, you know, reassure himself about where he is and that, you know, give himself a little bit more time to get healthy.
215-592-9494. Let's hear Jalen Hurts after the game. He was asked about A.J. and inner excellence. Here's Jalen's perspective on A.J. reading on the sidelines.
Jalen, A.J. was reading on the sideline. I think you said the book was inner excellence. Have you seen A.J. read on the sideline during the games, and what goes through your mind when you see that? How do you think it's
I've never seen him read. I've seen the book in his hands. Everybody has a different thing and finds their flow in different ways. So that's how he chooses to do it.
That is funny the way he framed that. Like, I've seen him have the book. I didn't see him actually read. That reminds me of the old LeBron thing when he would carry a book around during the playoffs and maybe not actually read it. But it does feel like A.J. reads this one. The pictures are up of the passages he highlighted. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. What hit you the most as the Eagles move on 22-10 over the Packers? The passing game pretty choppy, as it's been a lot this year, or that dominant defense that held the Packers to 10 points? And, of course, your reaction to the Nakobe injury and inner excellence, the A.J. Brown book on the side. Lines moment that I didn't see coming. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Hugh, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence, what's up, pal?
Hey, man, Hugh, man, you didn't look happy in that picture, man, on IG, man. I saw that. He did not look happy, man.
I had my game face on.
Locked
Terrence.
In mode. We call this playoff mode, Hugh, Terrence. That's what he was in yesterday.
Yeah, but like D said, man, it look good on you though, Hugh, man. You look like you Eagles be playoff bound right now, man. You do look playoff bound.
Well, he was locked full. Just, you know, once in a while, you got to get fully locked in, Terrence. And what I had yesterday was a fully locked in Hugh Douglas for game day, Terrence.
Locked in,
Terrence. What are you feeling today,
man? First off, AJ Brown needs to stop, man. He know he was not reading that book. He was on there doing one of his antics, one of his shenanigans. He made. I know. AJ can't get mad at nobody but himself because AJ looked like an old-ass man yesterday. On them routes, and I wouldn't have threw to him either because it looked like that touch-push trick play. It looked like AJ wouldn't even try. AJ could have caught that ball. It looked like he wasn't trying, like he didn't put enough effort to grab that ball. We saw AJ make these spectacular catches before, and he didn't do it. But what stopped me the most was, man, we talk about Detroit Lions and their injuries, but the one thing Detroit was able to do, they were able to overcome and keep winning. We got adversity right now. Because without Nakobe Dean, that's going to be a major blow. This guy had 100 and some tackles, man. He was playing at an all-pro level. And I like Burks. I know he had that turnover-worthy play the first play of the game. But they started to torch him, man, with those wheel routes with Jacobs. And we know we got running backs like Gibbs. And so forth, and they will try exploit that.
Oh, there's so no doubt. We could see Aaron Jones and Jahmyr Gibbs the next 2 weeks. They're going to throw Hugh at Oren Burks. They're going to test him.
And Joe, I don't know if we have to blitz more or get more from our pass rush, but we're going to have to find somebody. Haven't tried him. I have to split time, but we're going to have to find somebody to come in a bit X factor at that position. As for Hurts, man, I know Hurts was coming off for the whole thing with the concussion, but I need Jalen Hurts to give me a little bit more, man. And I feel like yesterday, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I feel like they dummied down the offense a little bit to try to accommodate Jalen Hurts in that game. Because I feel like we heard the fans booing on a couple of like 3rd and 10. I don't know if Jalen checked down to these plays, but he just handed off to Saquon, and Saquon would get like 3 yards and then wouldn't get the first down on a couple of those series. So I feel like next game, I feel like Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts have to open this up more, man, because like you said, Joe, we're going to need some better effort because that's not going to cut it. I know Jalen Hurts didn't turn the ball over, but he's going to have to convert more first downs. We were 2 for 10, guys, on third down. We'll have to convert more third down to score more points versus the Detroit Lions. And we know Minnesota, you know, Addison, and we know Jefferson, them guys don't play no games, man. So I feel like Jalen Hurts is going to have to give me a little bit more. I like the win. It was a tough, gritty win. But come on, I need to take Hurts, man. Take off the rush. I need that Pittsburgh Steelers Jalen Hurts to come next week.
Yeah, well, at some point, it might be this week. It might be against the Vikings. It might be the title game. They're going to need more of the pass game. I think we all deep down know that. Terrence, appreciate it. Hugh, there were a couple yesterday. I don't know what to call it besides almost like a live to die another series. They had a 3rd and 12, 3rd and 8, and they just kind of handed a draw to Saquon, almost like they were content to punt a couple times.
You mean like the game looked like it was a little disjointed? They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it was like almost like a give-up play. Now, I understand if you're within your own 10-yard line and you don't want to have a sack in the end zone or a safety. But, Kyle, there were a couple times around the 30 or 40 where, I mean, you have A.J. and Devontae. You have your quarterback on the field and healthy. It felt like they're like, let's just, you know, if Saquon breaks a run on a draw, great, but we're content punting
here. It told you everything you needed to know about the confidence level in the offense to convert a 20-yard play. If you think about, I don't know, you have, now these are the best of the best, but like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar, they let them throw for that. So I don't know if it was a Hurts thing or just, it was weird because that's not something you normally would expect to see from like one of the top offenses in the NFL, a lack of confidence or trust in gaining those 20 yards.
The other side, of course, is the immense trust Sirianni has in his defense. Like, we could just punt. Like, punting is not like the worst thing in the world. And I understand why he feels that now, because this defense is amazing.
But also, like, I don't know, if you have the trust in your defense, then that's something that you feel like you can afford that kind of risk if they make a mistake on trying to get that and they don't convert. Right? I mean, like, you're still punting it back. I know it was 3rd and 19. It's not like it was 4th and 10 or something like that. You're not giving them the ball right back there. So I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a move you make if, one, you're confident in your defense, but really, to me, very confident in your offense.
Yeah, there was also a punt they had around midfield in the first half of the game.
Yeah.
Maybe a 4th and 6. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but
it's cowardly.
It was one of those things where if the offense is humming, they might go for that, and they chose to just punt it away. I think it was from the 46 because the ball went in the end zone, so it was like a 26 net yard, you know, exchange there.
It's kind of like what Tomlin and the Steelers do. I mean, don't trust their offense whatsoever. But like,
I know.
Well, him, speaking of
that 4th and inches Saturday.
Oh my god!
They might as well have just packed their bags and went home then.
God.
When they punted that, I was like, oh, they're done here. Tony and Fox Chase, what's up, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Tony. What's up?
Here are my thoughts. My take on our game. The defense was stand out, like amazing. Our offense up and down is a little alarming, a little concerning. I'm a little afraid of that as we go deeper in. And as far as AJ reading a book on the sideline during the game, I thought it was fucking brilliant. I thought it was awesome, you know.
Tony, it was different. I mean, I'll put it that way. It was different.
Quit being potty mouth.
Yeah, I understand passion, but we just got to take a deep breath. Deep breath. Maybe go read the book before you call. Or order the book.
Yeah,
everyone
Tony
else
Tony needs Inner Excellence.
Should I order Inner Excellence? Should I read it? I'll read it. I've read Nick Nurse's book. Remember when Jalen first got here, he talked about the coffee bean? He had a book, Jalen, that he liked writing.
Coffee bean.
Yeah, it's a really short book. It's about being the... trying to be the calm, right? Everyone else is kind of erratic and crazy around you, and you're the calm. Violet is up in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Violet, we're great. We got a playoff win. How you feeling?
I am so, so excited. I got to say, I was watching you guys on the pregame, and I'm going to try to win tickets. Hopefully, we can come to the game. And if we do, I definitely want to have a drink with you.
Well, make it happen, Violet. So you're thinking about this game? You're trying to get tickets to this game coming up?
Yeah, I'm going to try to win the morning one. But, you know, who knows? Either way, I really enjoy listening to you guys. And I love calling in. And I love Hugh. I love all of you guys. You guys are just great.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate it, Violet. And we had fun yesterday. Go ahead.
You're kind of cute with your green beard.
Is that right? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, Violet, love it. But no, we had fun yesterday, and we're excited to do it again this weekend. So, Violet, what are you feeling after yesterday?
Okay, so I have my notes written down. I am agreeing pretty much with everybody. I thought the defense was absolutely outstanding, and I knew that we were going to have a great defensive show. I am a little concerned still with Jalen, and I brought this up last week. It's not about the turnovers. He's been great with protecting the ball. I'm still, and he did better yesterday, but there was some times where he held on a little too long. I thought when he had that first pass to AJ, I thought it was brilliant. And I thought, yes, this is going to be the game. And then he had that overthrow. But then I listened to you guys, and maybe AJ wasn't 100%. So to me, I really would love to see Goddard being used more. I think he is a beast. And I really want to see both running backs being used more. I think we could be more creative with Saquon and Gainwell. I think they both have different styles that could complement this offense and Jalen, you know, to give him more confidence. And, you know, it doesn't have to be big plays down the field. Just move the ball. Move the ball. I don't care if it's short passes, you know?
And sometimes a short pass, Violet, could become something bigger. Like you mentioned Gainwell or Saquon out of the backfield. Like that pass to Goddard, that was probably, two yards from the line of scrimmage, but then Goddard took it and ran. I mean, sometimes short pass becomes something big.
Exactly. It can turn into more. So that's just my take on it. I'm really excited. So I'm very thankful to get to watch them again. Oh, my God. What about that Redskins game last night? Goodness.
You know what?
I just love football.
Yeah. You know what we need, Violet? And we appreciate it. And good phone call. We needed you a really back and forth to the wire game. Because the first, four games of the playoffs were kind of
great.
Yeah. I mean, the Texans-Chargers game stunk at the end. Ravens, that game was over in the first half. The Bills game was on when we were doing the pregame yesterday, but just following along, they got up big on them. And then the Eagles were kind of in control the whole time. That Commanders team, Hugh, they play those kind of games. It feels like every week goes down to the last play of the game. It's crazy.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know what? I'm starting to warm up to the fact that Dan Quinn might have been the right coach for that job, man, even though nobody wanted the job initially. It kind of feels, and I hate to say this because you know what he did down there when he got there, kind of feels like when Harbaugh got to Baltimore. You know, he wasn't their first choice. He was not their first choice, and they went kind of back and forth a little bit on his hiring. Now Dan Quinn is there. The city's in love with this young quarterback, man, and haven't won a playoff game since, 06?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Do you know what's really interesting about the parallel you just brought up? Do you know in John Harbaugh's first year in Baltimore, they were a 6 seed, and they went on the road, and they beat the 1 seed in the playoffs? Hugh, are you foreshadowing a Commanders win in Detroit?
Man, I'm just saying, I don't know. That would be a lot.
Because that means we get a home title game.
Yeah, that would be a lot. But Dan Quinn got them playing. They're playing well.
Yeah.
They're playing with house money. They're going to Detroit playing with house money. So they don't have anything to lose. Because I guarantee you going into this week, they're going to be told, hey, you know, it's good, but y'all about to get dragged. So it's like, what you worried about? Pull out all the stops.
Do you know what the other subplot of that game is? Ben Johnson turned them down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They go against a coach that said,
Dan Quinn wasn't the first choice.
Yep.
And now you're playing with house money because nobody's going to pick you to win that game. So you don't have anything to lose. You're going into a hostile environment. You're probably not going to have a big fan base there because Detroit's not going to let you come in and have the home field advantage. So, yeah, they have nothing to lose. So they go out there and they can play loose. All the pressure's on Detroit.
I agree with you. Well, they're big favorites in the game and they're home, all that stuff. 215-592-9494. That's how you help board it. We got all your phone calls coming up here. What hit you the most from the victory? Plus, we're going to get into more of the implications on tonight's game in this 12 o'clock hour. It is the Vikings. It is the Rams. It is the Monday Night Football playoff game. The winner of tonight's game is coming here. So we know the schedule for next weekend, right? The first game on Saturday is the Chiefs and the Texans. I'm not really most thrilled about that matchup, but whatever. Chiefs move on. Saturday night, as Hugh was just mentioning, that's a fun game. The Commanders, by the way, they didn't punt in that game last night. No punts. I don't know if either team's going to punt Saturday night. Commanders and the Lions. And then we know Sunday at 3 o'clock here, we will get the winner of the Rams and the Vikings. We'll discuss who we'd rather see. Plus, we will have a big Hugh breakdown on the other side. It's a Monday after a game. We need a big Hugh breakdown. Hugh's going to take a look at Nolan Smith's breakout game, the youngest Eagle in history to have multiple sacks in a playoff game. What a performance yesterday by Nolan Smith. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. It's the Midday Show after an Eagles playoff victory right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.